Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1279. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. We'll read responsively through verse 12. Verse 12 is a text verse. We'll turn to another scripture in a moment for a text verse also. Meanwhile, this announcement: would Walter Garcia and Santos Marchand please meet your bus worker at the usher station immediately? The usher station is back in this corner in the hallway. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1301. Hebrews 11:1. Let's read the first verse together, the first verse only. Let's read. Ready? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Father, this is a great church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this wonderful crowd. But Father, it's all in vain unless you speak to us. We pray that you'd help that which is our part to hear would be, of course, true tonight, that we would hear with carefulness and intently. And we pray that that which is spoken would be of thee, and that our preacher would know thy power in his speaking tonight. Thank you for all that you do here and for what you have in mind tonight. We praise thee, and we want your Holy Spirit to have control, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you noticed how much lack, Brother Burr, my voice, singing voice is? If you couldn't see him, we'd be blind in the first place if you couldn't see him. But if you didn't see him, you'd think I was up here singing. And I thank you very much, Mother. And I want to talk to you tonight, sermon I mentioned this morning, on the subject faith and experience. I'm going to read a couple of verses for you, then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to speak to you for a while. This verse: I know whom I have believed. I want you to notice the progression. First, I have believed. Now, I know. Now listen, I know whom I have believed, past tense and present tense, I have believed, now I know him, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. I have believed him, and now I know him, and so I believe he can. Okay, I have trusted him in the past, I know him now, and so I'll trust him for the future. That's what he's saying. Now I want to read up one other verse to you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to emphasize that little line, not seen. Faith is not faith if it can see. It's got to be unseen. You trust in that which is seen, that's not faith. Faith is trusting in that which is not seen. There's an element of, faith is taking a chance. I've often said in a sermon that I preach on faith, not much anymore, but I used to preach it some around the country, faith is believing that God will. Second, doubting that God will. Third, stepping out and acting on the belief. Faith has doubt in it, or it's not faith, because faith is confidence in that which is not seen. Now, you've got to follow my logic tonight carefully, because it's going to be a very delicate logic, and I want you to follow. Father, bless the message tonight. I honestly believe that the people of God can be helped, and some even changed, if they'll listen carefully. May it be so, and help me, please. Amen. I want to give you five statements and then several illustrations. And then if that works, I'll close. If it doesn't, I'll give you five more statements and a lot more illustration. So if you see me circling the field and can't find a landing strip, you'll know we're going to go around a little while longer. I want you to notice five statements. Number one, you cannot be saved without faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. You cannot be saved without faith. I don't care what kind of an experience you have, you can't be saved without faith. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, I was sitting in church one night and a light flashed and angels' wings tickled me on the ears and I saw things I'd never seen. I ran down the aisle and I got saved. No, you didn't get saved because angels' wings tickled you on the ears. You're saved by trusting Jesus. You're not saved by an experience. You cannot be saved without faith, for by grace he is saved through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let me say that faith is confidence in things not seen. Somebody said, if I could see heaven, I'd trust Jesus and go to heaven. No, you couldn't get to heaven, because then it wouldn't be faith, because you'd seen it. And you've got to be saved by faith. If God took us all to heaven and said, I'll give you this, now, if you put your faith in me, we put our faith in him, it wouldn't be faith. Because faith is that which is confidence in that which is not seen. If you can see it, it's not faith. So, you cannot be saved without faith. Number two, you can be saved without an experience. You can be saved. You can be saved without praying. You can be saved without any kind of experience at all. When you make up your mind and say, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell. I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sins, and I'm going to trust him to take me to heaven. That settles it. You may shout. You may cry. It doesn't matter. But you're not saved because you shout or saved because you cry. You're saved because you trust Jesus. I'll be on an airplane, God willing, tomorrow morning. I'll catch an airplane for Portland, Maine. And I'll put my faith in that pilot. I doubt if I'll see that pilot. If I do see him, it'll be at the door of the plane as I leave when he says goodbye to the passengers. But I may not even see him at all. And I dead sure won't know him before I put my faith in him. I used to fly a great deal, if I still do, but I still fly United Airlines a lot. But when Ray Newton was a pilot, he was a deacon here, pilot for United Airlines. I always wanted to fly with Ray Newton. And of all the, I fly about 70,000 miles a year just on United Airlines alone. But I never saw Ray Newton. And one day I was flying to Dallas, and sure enough, up there, it said, Captain Ray Newton. I didn't realize it was not United Airlines. Ray flies United. I was on American. I forgot it. All I saw was Captain Ray Newton. I said, well, boy, oh, boy. Finally, I didn't know there's two Ray Newtons that were pilots. I said, finally, I get to fly with Ray Newton, somebody I know. So I decided to play a little trick on him.
So I put my hand in my pocket like this, act like I had a gun. I went up there, pulled the door of the cockpit open. I said, "Stick him up. This is a hijacking." I looked around, couldn't find Ray Newton. I never felt so lonely in my life. Boy, I had a heap of explaining to do, I'll tell you for sure. But now, I'll fly tomorrow. Only one, by the way, I did fly to San Diego with him a little while later. But that's the only time that I ever knew the pilot. Now, I've trusted pilots all across America, but didn't know them. The average person in this room does not know God. The average person in this room has trusted him, but you do not know him. Paul said, "I have believed in him, now I know him." So you have the faith first, and then you have the experience. Now follow me carefully. Paul said, "I have believed in him." That's faith. Now you said, I've gotten to know him personally, and I know him whom I have believed. Then he said, "Because I know him, I have more belief. I have believed, I now know him, so I'm convinced or persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have deposited or committed to him against or until that day." So, I'm saying that you cannot be saved without faith, and you can be saved without experience. When I think about that, I think of the story about the guy in New York City, Brooklyn, New York. I was preaching there in Brooklyn, New York, and at the International Baptist Church, my good friend John Morgan. There was a store down a block or two away. Everybody in the church traded at that store. Man that owned that store is probably the best known man in the whole neighborhood. He was a Catholic man, never had been to the church at all. But he heard that I pastor the largest church in America, so he decided to come down and see what I look like, and it's certainly worth your while just to see what I look like. And so he came down, sat way back in the back, and leaned up against the wall in a chair, individual chair, back in the back. Invitation time came, he walked down the aisle. I preached that night on duty. My old sermon I used to preach on duty. When I got through preaching, he walked down the aisle. Everybody was stunned. In fact, when everybody saw his back there, they couldn't believe that he was back there because he was the best known man in the neighborhood. He ran the store, everybody traded from him. And he walked down the aisle. And I said, "Sir, why are you coming?" He said, "To get saved." And he said very unemotionally. And I said, "You know you're a sinner?" "Yes, I do." I said, "You won't trust Jesus?" "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "It's my duty." He said, "Reverend, I'm an honest man. I pay my debts. I pay my bills. And I do what I'm supposed to do. And tonight, for the first time in my life, a preacher's made sense to me. It's my duty to trust Christ as my Savior." He said, he gives me the air I breathe. You told me that tonight. The water I drink, the food I eat, the world I live on. And he said, "It's my duty." Well, I wanted to say, then get happy. But you don't have to get happy to get saved. You just do your duty and trust the Savior to get saved. Years ago, and this is an old illustration too, but I didn't study very hard this week. Down in Texas, I went out soul winning one Thursday night and to a family named Davis. I won Mr. Davis to Christ, and while he was praying, he started shouting, "Well, glory, amen, hallelujah, woo, praise the Lord, hey, glory." He got up out of the chair, ran around the room, hollering and screaming. His wife was in the kitchen washing the dishes. He said, "Honey, I just got it. I want you to come get it." She said, "Get what?" He said, "Tell her what you told me. I got Miss Davis saved," and she came unscrewed too, and she had a spell. And the whole Davis family is running around there just shouting and praising God. Boy, I had a good time. Next house was 672 Freeman Drive. Fellow named Winfred Brewer. Looked like a bulldog. He really did. Looked like a, just and no smart cracks about me either. But looked like a bulldog. And I walked the door, and he said, "Come in." I walked in. He said, "Sit down." And I sat down. He leaned against the door, so I couldn't get out. He stood. And I was sitting down on a sofa looking up at him. And I said, "Mr. Brewer," I told him how to be saved. I said, "Now, do you know you're a sinner?" "Yep." "You know that sinners are lost?" "Yep." "You know that Jesus came and lived and died, lived a perfect life and died and paid the price for a sinner?" "Yep." I said, "You know if you trusted him as your Savior, you'd go to heaven?" "Yep." I said, "Okay, let's pray. Say, dear God." He said, "Dear God." I said, "Oh, God, forgive my sins. Oh, God, forgive my sins." I tried to put some pathos in it. I wanted some feeling out of it. And I said, I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. And I said, and I trust Him to take me to heaven when I die. And I trust Him to take me to heaven when I die. And I said, Mr. Brewer, are you saved? Yep. I said, you feel anything? Nope. Where'd you go if you died? Heaven. You sure you go to heaven? Yep. I wasn't even sure how to get saved myself. I never had so little fun in my life winning a soul to Christ. If you're gonna get saved, make it worth my while, would you please? And by the way, it's been 40 years since that day. Mr. Brewer's a deacon in First Baptist Church, and Mr. Davis hadn't been to church since 2 weeks after he got saved, I think. Now, I'm simply saying that if you know you're a sinner and you know you're lost, and you know that Jesus died for sinners, it is your responsibility to trust Him. He gives you the sunshine, He gives you the rain, He gives you the food you eat, the air you breathe, and if you've got one shred of decency and character about you, you'll say, okay, if He'll save me, I'll trust Him as my Savior. You say, how will I feel? It doesn't matter how you feel. I said, notice you cannot be saved without faith. Two, you can be saved without experience. Now, follow me carefully. Then, after you put your faith in something, and then God gives you what you put your faith in, then comes experience. In other words, the psalmist said, I believed to see. Didn't say I saw to believe. I believed to see. You believe before you see, then you see. And when you see, then you can believe you can do more than you didn't see a while ago. For example, here I am over here, and I believe. What is it? I believe that God is going to do what He said He would. Now, I also have some doubt He's going to do what He said He would. But I step out on the belief, and I believe it. Then He honors that belief, and He gives it to me. Now, hear me carefully. If I trust Him to do again what He just did, that's not faith, because I have seen. But if I trust Him to do what He just did before I could see, are you listening? Are you listening? Be glad to have you join us anytime. And so if I trust Him to do what I cannot see, and then He does it, and I now can see it, I cannot trust Him again to do that. That's not faith. I can trust Him, but that isn't faith. Faith is when I then say He can do more than He did before. So you have faith, and then you have experience, and that experience of His fulfilling your faith, that makes you realize that if He could do what I couldn't see up to now, He can do what I can't see from now on. So I said in the first place, you cannot be saved without faith. Number two, you can be saved without experience. Number three, then comes experience. You see what you believed when you could not see. Let me say it again. You see what you believed when you could not see. Then that means this. There's no way to have faith in that matter because you now see. And faith deals only with things not seen. You can only have real faith when it's confidence that God will do what He said He would do that you've not seen Him do yet. When you've seen Him do it, then it's no longer faith. So I'm simply saying, then comes more faith in something else you cannot see. Now, obviously, you cannot see what I'm saying. Illustration. 35 years ago, we came, 35 and a half years ago, we came to Hammond. I mentioned this in my class last night to the men. I went over here to Hoosier Bank, and I borrowed $100. Now, that was a lot of money. That's $1,000 now. I borrowed $100. They didn't know me. They didn't know who I was. They didn't even know who. Didn't know. Oh, I'd never met them before. But I borrowed $100. Now they put their faith in me to pay that $100. They didn't know me. I had never borrowed money before. I had never had an account before in the bank, and so they put their faith in me. They could not see. You understand what I'm trying to say? They could not see. I paid that $100. Now, if I borrow another $100, they're not putting faith in me because they already have found out I'll pay $100. So I was trying to build a credit rating, so I borrowed $200. Now, They put their faith, more faith in me than they had before. They put faith that I'd pay the 100. When I paid the 100, don't leave me because I'm gonna teach you something in a few minutes. When I paid the 100, then they did not have any more, wasn't faith. They let me borrow another 100. That wasn't faith, that was sight. But I said I'm gonna borrow 200 now, not another 100. 200. And they put more faith in me, and I paid the $200 off. Now, if they let me borrow just $200 now, that's not by faith. That's by sight, because they know I'll pay $200. So I borrowed $300. Now, they have more faith in me. They let me borrow $300. You see what I'm trying to say? This is the way you grow in grace. You have more faith in God. And so, now then, they put their faith in me to pay off $300. They did not know for sure that I'd pay off $300. They knew for sure I'd pay off $200. They knew for sure I'd pay off $100. So if they let me borrow $100 again or $200 again, that is not faith because that is sight. But they say, now I'll let you have $300. They're putting more faith in me because they've never seen me pay off $300 yet. You follow me? Look intelligent then. Now, so then I paid off the $300. Now then if they let me borrow $300 again, it's not by faith because they know I'll pay $300. So I borrowed $400, and they put more faith in me. Now, that means they let me borrow $400 because they had put faith that I'd pay off the $100, and I did, and faith I'd pay off the $200, and I did, and faith I'd pay off the $300, and I did, until I borrowed several thousand dollars, and they put more faith in me as I paid off those debts. Now, illustration. 35 years ago, last summer, the First Baptist Church voted to call me as their pastor. A lot of people here loved me, trusted me. They didn't know me. But they liked my preaching. But they didn't trust me to conduct a funeral. I was here almost a year before they'd trust me for a funeral. They thought I'd preach on 15 reasons why the old boy's burning right now or something like that. They wouldn't trust me. They thought I'd preach a hellfire and damnation sermon at a funeral. And I'll never forget that we had an assistant pastor named John Hippard, and he was a ministerial type. He was a good guy, but he was very ministerial. He had a ministerial voice. And a good guy, really, and loyal fellow, and I loved him. But they'd have John, I'd preach on Sunday, and they'd have John take care of the funerals. Why? They trusted, they had faith in me to call me, and then they liked my preaching. Now, they couldn't have faith in my preaching anymore because they already had that, and they have seen my preaching. Now, if they trust me to do that which I had not yet done, the unseen, then that would have been faith. And one day, a lady died, and they trusted me with a funeral service. I'll never forget it. We're out there at the cemetery. I think it was Chapel Lawn Cemetery. I'm not sure, but some cemetery. That's where they usually bury folks, at a cemetery. And we were out there, and the service was over, and I heard some ladies, old ladies, must have been 68 years old or more. They were gathered around each other. They didn't know I was there. And I heard one of them say to the other, "He didn't do so bad." They were shocked that I'd try to comfort anybody. I mean, they thought I'd preach on the great white throne judgment, or the fires of hell, or the unpardonable sin, or what's wrong with movies, and so forth, and I did. But anyway, they had faith to call me to be their preacher, but then when I was their preacher, they did not have faith that I would preach the funeral properly. Then they, by faith, trusted me to preach the funerals and found out that I could preach a funeral service appropriately, but they wouldn't let me do their weddings. They just wouldn't trust me to their wedding. They thought I'd preach a revival campaign at the weddings and conduct an altar call and ask folks to give up their pants and their shorts and so forth at the wedding. And I did. I didn't. But so later on, they trusted me. Now, they trusted me to be their preacher. And that was by faith. Then I was their preacher, and that was no longer faith because they had seen. But they had not seen me preach a funeral. So they trusted me to preach the funeral, and that's faith. Once I preached the funeral, it was no longer faith because they'd seen. So they trusted me to conduct the wedding. Once I'd conducted a wedding, it was no longer faith because they had seen. Now, that's what God is saying here. God is saying the first thing you do is you trust Him. And then when he does what he said he would do, you can trust him to do other things that he said he would do. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. On the basis that I trusted the unseen and got this far, and he did what he said he would do, I think I'll just go a little farther and trust him to do what else he said he would do. On the basis that he did what he said he would do when I got this far, I believe I can go still farther. And he'll do what he said he would do. But every step is taking a chance. Faith is taking a chance. Faith is stepping out. I've used these illustrations many times, but you recall the story of the fellow who came to Jesus, and when Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the fellow came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, he said, "My son is possessed of demons. He tears his clothes off and foams, falls at the mouth, and he's a wild man." He said to Jesus, said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." And Jesus said, the man said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." So he believed, and he didn't believe, but faith is when you believe and doubt, but faith is the stepping out on the belief part. You Howells Anderson students, some of you, you came to college, you married folks, you came to college here. You thought God would take care of you, but you've been somewhat surprised that God has taken care of you. And that's the good thing about faith. It's so much fun when God does it. When you have faith, you say, "I believe God will do it. Boy, I hope he'll do it. I wonder if he'll do it. Yeah, I think he'll do it. Okay, I think I'll just jump out there and see if he'll..." Hey, he did! Woo! He did! Years ago when I was in college, Ms. Howells and I prayed I'd get a job. I prayed she'd get a job, and she prayed I'd get a job. Her prayers were answered. We prayed one night that I'd get a job. And she promised she'd pray all day I'd get a job. I went down, JCPenney Company, got a job. I came home, first place I went, I got a job. Came home and I said, "You won't believe this." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "You better sit down. You won't believe this." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "No, you won't." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "You won't believe this." She said, "Yes, I will." I said, "No, you won't. You better sit down." She sat down. I said, "I got a job." She said, "I don't believe it." Hey, that's what faith is all about. You think that we preachers, this is the way you think we do. "Dear Heavenly Father, we need it. Would you please give it to us? Amen. Thanks loads." No, sir, Buster. I'm as shocked when I get it as you are. And that's why it's so much fun. I mean, if you don't have, if there's not any doubt in faith, then you won't have any fun when you get it. I've often said that preaching is one doubter talking to a bunch of doubters trying to convince us all to believe. You think we stand up and we preach like this? "Oh, Jesus, I wish you'd come tonight. Oh, if you came tonight, I'd fall down at your feet and I'd worship you and praise you." Now, we're lying. It's wonderful preaching, but we're lying. Scop, you've done that. "Oh, Jesus, I wish you'd come tonight. Oh, I want to see him." Shoot. If the trumpet sounded right now, you say, "What in the world is going on?" I'd say, "I don't know, but I'm checking to see if this is it. I'll say for sure." Man, that's the fun about the Christian life. You look and say, "I think he'll do it. I don't know if he'll do it, but I'm going to jump out here and trust him. Hey, he did it! And I bet you he'll do it again. So I'll step, take another step." That's what faith is all about. Now, you remember the story of little Rhoda. Church in Jerusalem was praying that Peter would get, he was their pastor. They're praying their pastor would get out of jail. I've often wondered if I was in jail, if you'd pray that I'd get out. And they're praying, "Oh God, get our pastor out of jail. Oh God, get our pastor out of jail." And God reached down in the jailhouse. Angel whacked Peter on the side, said, "Get up and go through the door." Peter said, "I can't go through the door. It's locked, chained." All of a sudden, that door opened just like Kmart's door opened. And the first automatic door opened. Peter went out. First place he went after he got delivered was to church. And that's the first place you'll go when you get delivered too. He went to church. He knocked on the door at the church house. They said, a little girl named Rhoda said, "Go to the door." She couldn't pray very well anyway. And said, "Go to the door." Little Rhoda goes to the door. There stands the pastor out of jail. She comes back in there and she says, guess who's at the door? Who's at the door? It's our pastor, Peter. He's at the door. No, he's not. He's in jail. He's at the door. He is not at the door. He's at the stupid door. That's in the Greek. He's at the door. He's not at the door, and you're ruining our prayer meeting. Did they totally believe he'd get out of jail? No. And that's why they had so much fun when they saw him. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he made a decree that every one of the Jews, he built this big doll image on the plains of Dura. And he said, everybody's got to fall down and worship that image. But there were three Howells Anderson students there, named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as my black friends over here say, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro. But anyway. I don't know any of them. Anyway, they said, we're not going to worship that image. And Nebuchadnezzar said, we'll throw you in a fire furnace. And these Howells Anderson students said, throw us in there. We're not going to worship the image. And he said, okay, I'll turn the thermostat up 7 times hotter. They said, turn it up as high as you want to. We're not going to worship that image. And then they looked up to the king, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, be it known unto you, O king, our God will deliver us. Anybody know the next 3 words? But if not, our God will take care of us, we think. That fire won't hurt us, we hope. That's what faith is. Living by faith is exciting. Why? Because you're always surprised and excited, and you say, I wonder if he'll do it. I think he will. I wonder if he will. I'm going to test him to see if he will. And he did. Woo! He did. I think I'll try it again. That's what faith is all about. That means if you see, you can't have faith. Faith is confidence in that you don't see. Once you see it, you can't have faith in that again because you see it. So you look forward and say, okay, I couldn't see this, and he gave me this. I can't see that. I believe he'll give me that. So you put your confidence in, does that, and then your faith increases. Now, all that to say this. Oh, let me illustrate again. I want to give you another illustration because I don't think you got it yet. The reason I don't think you got it yet is because I ain't got it yet. But I was called a pastor of the Morris Chapel Baptist Church in Pagoda, Texas, 3 miles outside of Pagoda. 19 church members. 7 folks were there the first Sunday. And I didn't know whether I could handle that situation or not. John, you sure make a mess up here. I didn't know if I could handle that situation or not. But I took the church, wondering if I could handle it. And if God could help me, and we could do it. So I took the church. I could not see. But I believed, and by faith, I took the church. And God helped me. And now then, it's not faith anymore that takes me thus far. Faith will have to take me into areas I cannot see now. If you had told me, when I was pastor of Morris Chapel Baptist Church, that one day I'd have to raise $40,000 every... Are you listening to me? Listen to me. I'd have to raise $40,000 every day of my life. I'd have said, you're crazy. I mean, our total offering was $750 a year. A year. A year. If you'd told me then that I'd pastor all these people, I'd have said, no way, Jose, I can't do that. What am I saying? I'm saying that I believed... Would you get your feet out of the way? I'm not kidding you. This is the truth. A while ago, while he was singing, I thought somebody got happy and was walking down here to shout. It was just your feet going out there. That's all it was. I know, that's the truth. Scout's honor. That's the truth. Scout's honor. I thought 2 young kids getting saved. I want to say, God bless you 2 little fellows there. I said, I'm going to trust God to help me handle the Morris Chapel Baptist Church, that little country church, and I did. Then one day I looked out and saw the Grange Hall Baptist Church. They ran about 45, 50 people in Sunday school. My soul, four times as many or more than the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. And I thought, my soul, can I handle that many people? So I stepped out and believed I could. I hadn't seen it. I knew I could handle a dozen because I had seen that. But I couldn't see the 50 people. But I stepped out and believed that God would help me, and He gave me the experience of realizing He could help me. And now I know I can handle 50 people. That little church grew to 260, I guess. And I knew I could handle the church with 260. Now then, there's a church up there in Garland, Texas, that I didn't know it is going to grow to have 4,000 members. Well, I can't handle that. I can handle 270 people, but I can't handle all that kind of thing. No way. I can see I can handle 270, but I can't see that. Can I do it? I believe God will help me. I don't know for sure we can do it, but I think I'll just step out and see. And God did. And then one day, First Baptist Church of Hammond called me. And I said, Lord, I know I can pastor Southerners. I can't pastor Yankees. We had a certain adjective we put in front of the word Yankee all the time. It was called Shucks Yankees. But no way, I couldn't pastor up north. I know I can pastor down south. I know I can pastor 4,000 people down south, but I don't know if I can ever pastor tens of thousands of people up north. I don't know. I wonder if I can. I think God will help me. But I don't know for sure God will help me. Now, the faith is, when I decide to come up here. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks. You're not going to grow in grace until you have confidence what you can't see. Oh, Brother Hiles, if I could see my way through, one fellow said, if I could see my way through college, I'd put my trust in God. You couldn't do that. If you could see your way through, you're not putting your trust in God. Faith is that confidence in that which is not seen. Now, if God could bring you thus far, be by faith in what you could not see back yonder, don't you think God can take you the rest of the way by faith in which you cannot see in the future? The entire truth is this. Don't you think that the God who has done things before that you could not see can do bigger things in the future that you cannot now see? You understand that? If God can take you thus far because you believed in that which you could not see, why couldn't God take you the rest of the way by your trusting that which you cannot see? I look at tomorrow and I say, will He? Can He? Will He? Will He supply my needs if I keep on going toward tomorrow? Will He give me strength for tomorrow? I can't see it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know where the strength's going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow. Well, yesterday, I didn't know how I was going to face today. And I put my faith in that which I could not see. And look where I am. If He who let me have today what I could not see yesterday, then He can let me have tomorrow what I cannot see today. Boy, this is good. I hope you get it. When I look back at my life, I'm serious about this. I look back at my life and I see what I've been through. I cannot believe that I could have gone through all that stuff. I'm talking about 47 years nearly. I can't believe I took all that stuff. I go back and I see all that stuff happen back there and I say, man, alive, I don't know why I didn't quit. I didn't quit because I had faith in the unseen. But here's the thing about it. You don't have to have faith in the whole journey. You just have to have faith in the next step. You don't say, I didn't say 47 years ago, I believe God can see me through all the way over until I'm 68 years old. I'm going to trust it. No, sir. I didn't say it. When I was a kid preacher, 21, I said, I believe God can see me until I'm 22. When I got 22, I said, He saw me to 22. I couldn't see it yesterday or last year. I'll try for 23. I put my faith in that which I could not see and made 23. I looked back and said, God gave me what I could not see today. I bet He'll give me what I can't see tomorrow. And step by step, I put my faith in the God who said, He orders my steps, not my journeys, not my trips. He orders my steps. So when I look at what I've been through, I cannot believe what I've been through. It seems impossible. But God saw me through it. Can He then see me through what I now face? If He saw me through what yesterday I could not see, can He not see me through what today I cannot see? Oh, Brother Howells, I trust God to take care of me because I got a good job. Okay, when you lose that job, do you still trust God to take care of you? Faith is confidence in that which you cannot see. I'm trying to tell you, look back in your life and see what God has done for you, and then look toward the future and say, back under years ago, I did not think I could get here, but by His grace and by His mercy, I'm here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That's what Paul was saying. I know whom I have believed. I have believed, now I know. Because I can see what I believed in yesterday. So I now know what I have believed and whom I have believed. And because He has led me. Now he said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him against that day. Paul said, He has seen me thus far, and I could not see the way. If He could see me thus far, and I couldn't see the way, but I kept on walking and couldn't see the way. And don't you think He can keep letting me make the journey successfully without seeing the way in the future? Folks, if you just stop and realize what God has done for you that you could not see, that would give you confidence to believe what God can do for you that you cannot see. Some of you Hiles Anderson pipsqueak preacher boys. Not all of you. Most of you are good guys. You got courage. But if I could see my way through college, I'd stay. That wouldn't be faith. I want to tell you that the whole journey from salvation to heaven is strictly by faith. And faith is confidence in that which you cannot see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Don't let this closing of the Bible encourage you. The same Bible that you have seen so closed can so be opened in like manner as you've seen it closed. I don't want to die. I enjoy life. Some of you have no fear about death. You're already dead. But I love to live. I really do. You ask anybody who hangs around me, they'll tell you, I love to live. I love life. I don't want to die. In fact, I dread dying. So do you. Oh, we sing. I wish I could see Him now. No, you don't. Now, I want to see Him. But I don't want to take that cemetery trip. First place, I don't want anybody fixing my hair for me. In fact, I want Brother Ault to see me, and I want to take about 2 hours and show him how I do it. This is not combing, this is sculpture. Placement, that's it.
Every hair has one little spot, and it's got to be in its place. I get it in that spot, and I paralyze that thing, not just with hairspray, but the extra hold hairspray. They call it paste, cement. I don't want to die. And the truth is, I dread dying. I'm not worried a bit about what's going to happen after I die, but it's that passageway bothers me. So I look at death. And by the way, I'm 68 years old. It ain't going to be too long. And when you get my age, every year has 2 months in it. I haven't paid for last Christmas yet. I look at death, and I'd like to be 35 again. I'd like to be 25 again. I'd like to be 67 again. But I look at my life and I say, look, I think back to 1982. That hadn't been very long. And I think, good night, that's 12 years ago. 12 years from now, I'll be 80. Yick. But you know what I think? I think when time comes to I'm gonna go ahead and march toward death, and I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna go ahead and die. I'm not gonna fight it. I'm gonna let God go ahead and let me die. But I'll bind you one thing. I'm confident when I get there. I'm confident when I get there that I'll be just as surprised and pleased as I've been all through these years when other things came that I dreaded. And so I'm saying, if he's led me thus far through all these battles, and I've had some battles worse than death, I think. Never been there yet. But I'm just going to go ahead and believe it's not going to be so bad. Now, I can't see that it's not so bad. If I could, that's not faith. If I could go over on the other side and see heaven and come back over here and die, that's what I'd like to do. But that wouldn't be faith. Because faith is confidence in that which you cannot see. Now, what is it you're facing tonight? What is the burden, the heartache, the problem? What is the battle you're facing tonight? Don't you think that God, who has answered your faith of things you couldn't see yesterday but now can see today, don't you think that same God can help you see tomorrow what you have faith in today? You said, "But I'm afraid of tomorrow." So am I, but I'm going to march on. I was afraid of today, yesterday. I dreaded today. I've had battles. Listen to me. I've had battles. I could see them coming. Boy, that's always a rough thing. I could see them coming. Down in Texas, used to have those old tornadoes come through there, and you could see them coming. Boy, I hated to see them coming. And I've looked and I've seen battles coming or out there. And I knew the will of God for my life was going to take me right smack dab through those battles. I kept on going, dreading to do it. I believe God's going to see me through it, I think. God's going to give me the victory, I hope. But I'm going to keep on going. And that's what faith is. Faith is keeping on going when you wonder if you're going to make it and believe you're going to make it. And every one of those battles that I've faced has been highly overrated. And every time I've been through one of those battles, Jesus has been more precious to me than he's ever been before. Now, if I can make it this far, if I can make it this far, to all these things of nearly a half a century of preaching, and all the heartaches and all the battles this far, when I could not see how I could make it. And don't you think that same God that gave me, put me here when I could not see how to get here, can put me there, though I cannot see how to get there? I'm trying to get you to have faith in God tonight. Oh, Brother Howell, if I could just see God, I'd have faith in Him. If you saw God, you couldn't have faith, because faith is confidence in that which you can't see. Bill, you're afraid to die, aren't you? You're afraid to get 60, weren't you? Are you 60 now? 1 year. But you're scared to death to get 60. You told me that. It's not so bad.
It's not so bad, Bill. It's not so bad. Shoot, I'm having the time of my life at 60. Never had so much fun in my life as I'm having now. I can kick down more microphones now than I ever could before. If God can see me the 68, when I couldn't see what was out there, I reckon God can take me on into the senior years. Into them, nothing. I'm done into them. Miss Howes isn't, but I am. She thinks she isn't. She thinks she's a teenager still. And thinking you're a teenager still is a part of being old and senile. Through many dangers. If I can make it thus far, I can make it home tonight. I doubt if I can. But I think I can, but I'm going to believe it and go home. And then come back. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And I could not see the way. I had to come by faith. Every step I had to take by faith. I trusted Him. I believed on Him, but I had not yet known what He could do. I have believed. And now I know whom I have believed. And because I know what He has done yesterday and brought me to today when I could not see today, I believe He can see me to tomorrow on the basis that He saw me to today. Don't let me see. I don't want to see. I could see it wouldn't be faith, as I said this morning. So I think I'll just keep on going. I think I'll just keep on believing. I think I'll keep on doubting. I think I'll keep on acting on the belief. I think I'll keep on shouting and praising God every time He reveals that He did what He said He would do. Wonderful grace of our loving Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe. 'Tis grace hath led me safe. Thus far. And grace will lead me home. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Oh, I'd love for this truth to find lodging in our hearts. I'd love for people to grab a hold of this. Confidence in the unseen because of what we've seen happen when we didn't have confidence that it could happen. When we couldn't see, we kept on going. And now we can see that God has done what He said He would do when we couldn't see today.